stand by for an acknowledgement from the hearing room that we have the report to start with.
Yes, it's on, Matt. Everything's okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the time is 2:02 p.m.
Great. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, May 12, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Mr. Barry.
Present.
Mr. Chavez.
Here.
Mr. Einhorn.
Here.
Mr. Pizzetti.
Here.
Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Shaw.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
Mr. Winkler.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, is also present. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted telephonically due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time that you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. First item, consideration of the commission's meeting, minutes of the commission's meeting of April 28, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the minutes of the Commission's regular meeting of April 28, 2021.
This is Commissioner Winkler. I second. Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. All in favor? I'm going to conduct a roll call. Commissioner Barry?
Abstain, I wasn't at the meeting.
Mr. Chavez?
Aye.
Mr. Einhorn. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Pizzetti?
Yes.
Mr. Hankin?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Excuse me, we have one abstention. Next is, we will consider the hearing officer's report. The hearing officer's reports are all publicly accessible on our website. The website is www.ct.gov/FOI. Two links on the agenda and today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. About the first two matters, are those marked off, Mary?
No, that's all right. Mary's here as well. Yes, both the first matter 549 and then the second matter 723 have been marked off. They both involved inmates, and they're at the same facility, and the facility is in lockdown. We just learned prior to the meeting, so both of those matters will be marked off from this meeting.
Okay. All right. So then I'll start by calling the next matter, which is docket number FIT.
am the administrative partner for the Western Connecticut Tourism District. My name is Terry McCary.
Say it again, please.
Certainly. Terry McCary.
Would you like to be heard?
No, I'm just observing at this point.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Street. Seeing as the complainant is not with us here and there's no objection by the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
In second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll conduct the roll call vote of those in favor. Barry.
Back. I concede what the findings are with regard to the delay in the video. But we don't get requests for video every day. And the factual information found by the hearing officer shows that with the, if you will, communication from our office to the police department, to the software person who was necessary to retrieve the information. I have nothing else to say, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Book?
Yes. I thank this commission for the opportunity for me to appear here. I also thank Hearing Officer Matthew Speed for the attention that he paid to the detail of this matter and various constructive positive points in his proposed final decision. My purpose for appearing here is to urge that this commission order several modifications to the proposed decision to make it more complete in effecting justice than can be done and what can be done under its jurisdiction. I understand that there's a 10-minute limit. I also understand from the notice given to me of this meeting that for good cause it can be extended. I believe my comments may take about 13 minutes. I hope that I can have the commission's indulgence. I refer to my request for modification of the proposed final decision dated April 30. I fully support that Attorney Reed concluded that the respondents violated the FOIA in late responses to certain portions of the subject request, that is, at the decision paragraph 20. For all considerations of justice and fairness, I also urge that the commission imposes a civil penalty declined in the decision at paragraph 21. In addition, for lawful considerations, I urge that this commission refers this matter to the state's attorney, as I recommended during the hearing. I support my recommendations. In support of my recommendations, there is a chain of events and context. I point out that the subject request, complainant exhibit 1, focuses on Christopher Rosario, a part-time employee with the City of Shelton Police Department, also state representative in the 128th District, central portion of Bridgeport. In addition, as I have been a major party challenger to the elections of Mr. Rosario in 4 most recent elections, the requested information is election sensitive. The requested information is further politically sensitive, even election sensitive, regarding the 2019 re-election campaign for respondent Mayor Mark Loretti, including of a chain of matters such records over the first day, then on the 32nd day, records over the second day, and so on. At the end of the subsequent 30-day period, the entire previous 30-day period is recorded over, in other words, erased. So, in order to respect any information request for access to a recent period of video recording of the time clock, the saving and the preservation process must be prompt. The respondents know that. However, in the instance of FIC 2019-0281, the respondents failed to give the police department official who administers the video recording process notice of my request until September of 2019, more than 4 months after my request was received, and more than 3 months after the subject recording had been automatically erased. I was horrified. Unfortunately, resulting from questionable respondents' tactics to delay the hearing, that matter was not heard until after the 2019 election. Also, once heard, the hearing officer, sua sponte, raised a non-subject matter jurisdictional issue to decline to address the matter. So, on February 11, 2010, the same day that it was learned that the respondents had not retained or preserved the desired video recording, I hand-delivered to the respondents, Mayor Moretti and Police Chief Shakira, the request for information which is subject to this matter. Yet, as it was hand-delivered on a Tuesday, one would expect that notice of the request would have been given to the police department official in charge of the video camera within a day or two, say by Thursday, February 13, 2020. That would have allowed for steps to preserve the video recording for 30 days prior, say from January 14, 2020. However, based on a respondent's letter dated March 9, 2020, but curiously not sent to me until by email on March 23, 2020, that is 3 days after I filed the complaint for this matter, there was no downloaded footage available until February 2nd, 2020, nearly 3 weeks after January 14th, 2020. This was not just disturbing, it is again shocking. It suggests that respondents had the opportunity to warn Rosario and screen the video in order to limit and sanitize what would eventually be made available to me. What is additionally disturbing is that the respondents never called to testify Police Chief Shakira to explain his role in this matter. Such a failure raises a negative inference. All of the above is additionally significant given the partial information given to me by the respondents in FIC 2018-0649. Respondent Shakira previously had been a state trooper investigating a criminal embezzlement of about $1 billion by former Shelton Deputy Finance Director Susan Scanlon, a woman reported to have had an extramarital affair with Respondent Moretti, yet Shakira, in that role, never requested Moretti in that investigation. Yet partial information given to me by the respondents indicated that in 2015, while a candidate for police captain, Shakira did not satisfy the respondents to be police captain, and he ranked 5th out of 6 candidates next to the bottom, yet the respondent Moretti hired him. And by the way, the partial information was late given to me in December 2018, just after the general election. The picture here is getting darker but clearer. Then additionally, we have in FIC 2019-0207, wherein I requested of the respondents information of overtime and compensation for respondent Shakira, that is, during the time period of being police captain, and also information of retired Deputy Chief George Rodriguez, both of whom had reputations for claiming excessive overtime. I presented the respective requests on February 8th and March 1st, 2019. Without responses, I filed a complaint with this commission. However, at the hearing of December 2nd, 2019, 10 months Hearing Officer Delicia D. Harmon asked if the respondents were willing to provide the information. They said yes. She then asked both parties to enter a settlement agreement. Both parties agreed. I did so reluctantly. As of this date, more than 27 months following the request, and 17 months after the settlement agreement, and after multiple follow-ups by me and the respondents, and multiple motions to this commission for an order of compliance and sanctions, and after the general election of 2020, the respondents have not yet satisfied the terms of the settlement agreement. The situation is not only bad, it is extreme. With reference to the respondents' objection to the complainant's request for modification of proposed final decision of May 5th, 2021, I give several legal references. The decision of State versus Hayes, 127 Connecticut 543, a 1941 case, quoting State versus Murphy, the proof of this conspiracy is not often made by direct, open, and positive evidence, but more generally and more naturally by proving a repetition of acts of a character conducing to show a mutual purpose. In such case, it is seldom true that any one act taken by itself can be detected as tending to prove a combination, but when it is seen in connection with other acts, its true nature may be discovered. And so, this species of proof is multiplied. A strong case of unlawful conspiracy is often established. The decision of Krulovich versus United States, 336 U.S. 440, a 1949 case. At page 720, footnote 4, the court quotes from the law of criminal conspiracies as is found in American cases. It would appear that a conspiracy must be a combination of two or more persons by some concerted action to accomplish some criminal object, or some object not criminal by criminal means, or some object by criminal means which are not criminal, by means which are not criminal, but where mischief to the public is involved, or where neither the object nor the means are criminal or even lawful, but where injury or oppression to individuals are the result. Finally, Ashcroft versus Iqbal, 556 U.S. 662, a 2009 case. The decision makes a distinction between a claim for which there is a plausibility as opposed to a mere possibility. With respect to criminal conduct, including conspiracy, for what I present here, there is much more than a plausibility of criminal conduct. There is a probability. At this stage, I don't need to provide proof of criminal conduct, although I think a trier of fact may, simply based on what I've described here, conclude that criminal conduct has occurred. There is substantial evidence, substantial probable cause for a full criminal investigation. If this commission doesn't refer this to the state's attorney, I likely will refer it to the state's attorney, which I probably would do anyhow. I believe that this commission has a higher responsibility and a duty to make such a referral. I strongly urge that these two points be done, that is to impose monetary penalties against the respondents and also refer this to the state's attorney. With respect to one point that Attorney Teodoso said about a letter indicating compliance or availability of materials, which was not known by me until later, that letter itself did not say anything about information which was late given. And so that letter, regardless of whether I didn't see it at the time that it was given, doesn't matter. The materials weren't given without any explanation until 10 months later. So that point has no use. I thank you for your attention, and I entertain questions.
Any of the commissioners have any questions of the either party? No questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
Based on the foregoing, I don't believe we need to, we should impose a civil penalty. I think the hearing officer got it right.
Commissioner Egan, this is Commissioner Winkler, and I do agree with the last comment. comment made. As you know, I am a strong proponent of civil penalties. However, the town of Shelton was working under very strenuous circumstances with COVID-19, and I believe that Attorney Reed had gotten the material correct.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chabé. I would like to ask Attorney Reed if there was consideration of a training requirement, given what seemed to be maybe a lack of knowledge about how the video recording records work.
Attorney Reed?
I think probably the best response is that the challenge that the respondents seem to have was exactly as you pointed out with the operation of that video system. I think they understand their responsibilities as far as their compliance with the Freedom of Information Act. So I just don't know that training on our part would assist them with the technical expertise necessary for that video system.
So I guess, thank you, Attorney Reed. This is Commissioner Chabé. I wonder if the representative from the town could address what steps, if any, the town is taking to enhance the technical knowledge that seemed to be lacking in this case.
This is Attorney Teodosio responding to your question. We have hired a second software employee over the past month, actually, to assist us in all of our technical challenges. And I would just say that with regard to this, there was a learning curve. It started with the first request, and it ended with an understanding that we had to bring in a software specialist. So when you ask what we are doing, we both employ software specialists when we have to comply with the Freedom of Information Act, and we have hired a second in-house software person to assist us with all of the technical requests that are coming now that COVID is ending, but some of the, if you will, digital information and information requests remain.
Thank you.
Hey, may I add some brief comments? This is Ethan Book.
Well, hang on a second. Do any of the other commissioners have any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, for the request regarding the video, which is the one before it, the official within the police department who is responsible for the administration of the video system testified at the hearing, at the commission, the FOI hearing, that he did not receive the request until 2 days before it was made available. Days before it was downloaded. In other words, it was about 3 weeks after the respondents, the Mayor Loretti and Police Chief Shapiro, received my request. It was hand-delivered. It was nearly 3 weeks before the person in charge even received it. Now, that's not a technical issue. That's not a high-tech technical issue. That is procedural and, frankly, very negligent, I think, by design. That the person who is Lieutenant Kozlowski, who received the notice of that and who was responsible, he said he tried to download it. He couldn't. He called in the city IT specialist, who within about 15 minutes had the process started. It had to run overnight, and it was completed. And so, as I see it, it was not a technical problem. It was procedural, negligent, and I believe willful.
At home.
Shall we say, criminal. My position is if this commission does not decide to impose monetary penalties
Yes.
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 Yes. Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Mr. Egan, myself, Mr. Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Book. Thank you, counsel. Have a good day.
Thank you for hearing me.
Mr. Chairman, I can just hang up now.
Yes, you can hang up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Take care.
So, Colleen, we're on report on pending appeals.
Yes, yes. No report on pending appeals. No new appeals came in, so nothing new there. Under our executive director's report, just on the operations, just a reminder that we're just continuing our hearings for the next couple weeks, and then the first week that we're over at our new location. So we won't be hearing cases for a little bit. And then the status of our relocation, the date for our move is coming up very soon, May 28th. And again, our new office address is 165 Capitol Avenue, Suite 1100. We're just trying to get the word out about that, and we hope to a few things to make sure people know where we are. The space there is really coming together. It's looking pretty good. We're testing the equipment and the new hearing room and configuring everything to meet our needs. So we're really getting there. And again, I thank our staff for working on that, packing us up. Matt versus technical work over at the new location on the IT end and other things. And then I, under general updates, which I've added to the agenda, I just wanted to let you all know that Commissioners Einhorn and Barry have been reappointed to two-year terms at the commission by their respective legislative leaders. So they're with us till 2023. And we're working on the other legislative reappointments. I understand that Commissioner Streeter's should be forthcoming at the end, toward the end of the session. Still working on Commissioner Hankins, but I'm really confident right now that he's going to get word that he has officially been reappointed, as he's been holding over already for 2 years. And then last, Lenny Winkler has been reappointed by the governor, and she underwent a confirmation hearing on Monday and did a stellar job there, received many accolades for her legislative service and continuing to serve the state of Connecticut, and the committee voted her through, and so she is up before the House. That's for the governor's appointments. It's only one chamber, so we're watching that closely to get her official confirmation. So that's all the commissioner news, a lot of commissioner news. Beyond that, just a reminder that we will not be having our next meeting, May 26, 2021. That is off due to the move. And so don't show up here, virtually or otherwise, but we hope to be back at it at the new location, the first meeting in June. Then let's see, under our staff reports, I don't have anything at this time. Under legislative report, I'll turn it over to Paula. I think she just briefly wants to say a couple things about what we're up to at the legislature. Paula, if you're there, there you are.
Good afternoon. Just briefly, I just wanted to let the commissioners know that, as we've said for the past few weeks, that many of the bills that we're monitoring have made it out of committee. In fact, 84 of the 175 have been made it out, and several of those bills have been ready to be taken up by the House or the Senate, including the proposal dealing with the copying fees and scanning, access to constituent information lists, exemptions dealing with the Cajon Creek Foundation, the 5 remote meeting bills. So all of those are ready to be taken up. There is one bill, actually, that there has been some action on. Recently, the House passed the exemption for the records of, like, the Native American cultural records. We had, as you know, we worked with UConn on some language for that proposal. Initially, it was comment on the language, and I believe it's narrow in scope, so we were fine with the language that came out. We continue to have meetings and discussions with legislators and stakeholders regarding various of the bills, and continue to work with the same individuals on narrowing language for various of the bills. Colleen already reported on Commissioner Winkler and Commissioner Barry and Einhorn. So I'll repeat that. And in terms of FOI proposals, that's what I have for you in terms of an update. I do, on a non-FOI bill, wanted to report that the House has passed a bill today making pizza the state food. So that was very exciting. I am absolutely in favor of that. But I thought I would share that with all of you.
Got
some clapping from Commissioner.
Yes.